Very happy to see each and every one of you this morning. A wonderful Lord's Day, and we're thankful that Christine's mother and father are with us and all those who are here. And we miss those who are not with us this morning. We'd like to study with you on the subject of lessons from little creatures. The wise man Solomon in Proverbs tells us about four different little creatures that teach us important lessons. He doesn't use the big animals like the elephant, but he uses the small creatures. Let's read in Proverbs 30, verse 24 through 28. It says, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they're exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces." And so there's some great lessons that we can learn from these small creatures. In this lesson, we're going to look at little creatures that can teach us great things about life. It's the small things in life that make up the big things. You think about a drop of water, and you think about how many drops of water it takes to fill the oceans, the rivers, the lakes, the creeks. But yet, there's one drop of water that we can use. Also, a grain of sand. You think of all the beaches and all the sand on those beaches, and yet there is one grain that can be separated. And then a grain of wheat. There's thousands of acres of wheat that is being grown every year. And you think about one grain of wheat. All of them together make up the wheat that we use to eat. We're going to study about the ant, the coney, the locust, and the spider. These creatures teach us important lessons that we need to learn. We look for big things, and so the little things many times go unnoticed. We don't pay attention to the small things in life. We know that Naaman had leprosy, and he was told to go and wash in Jordan River seven times, that he would be cleansed of leprosy. But he didn't expect to do this. He thought differently. It was a simple thing that he was told to do. In 2 Kings 5 and verse 11, "But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." And so he already had it all planned out how he would be cured of leprosy. But he was simply told to go and dip seven times in Jordan River. His servant said to him, he said, "The servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean?" And so if he had been told to do a great thing, he would have done it. He was told to do a simple thing, and he rejected it. But then when he washed, dipped seven times in Jordan, he was cleansed of leprosy. There are some brethren in the church that are so obsessed with big campaigns that they think a gospel meeting can't accomplish much. They want these big campaigns. I believe that more people have been saved with one-on-one teaching than any other way of teaching. Simply one-on-one, many souls are saved. And when we overlook the little things, we miss some of the great important lessons. Big things don't always teach the biggest lessons or accomplish the best results. Jesus attached importance to little things when he said in Matthew 10 and verse 42, he said, "Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." And so here Jesus teaches a great lesson just with a cup of cold water, how important that it can be. A little thing, but yet important. Wisdom of these four little creatures make up for their insignificance. Their instincts and habits lift them into great respectability. Learning lessons from them may influence our whole lives. For example, the ant. What the ant teaches us. I'm sure that you have watched ants sometimes. You enjoy watching them. They're so busy working. In Proverbs 30 and verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Of course, in comparison to man, they're not strong. But for their size, they can lift quite a bit of weight. Sometimes they carry things several times bigger than they are. But the important thing is they prepare their food in the summer. They take advantage of the opportunity that they have. Diligent preparation. Prepare their food in the summer. In Proverbs 6 and verse 6, it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." And so here's Solomon in his writings rebuking the sluggard. The sluggard is one who has a habit of being lazy. They're so lazy they don't want to do anything or work at all. There's a man that went to his doctor to see what was wrong with him. He had no energy. And the doctor examined him and he found no problem in this man. He said, "You're just lazy." Well, the man asked the doctor then, "Can you give me a big fancy name," he says, "for this problem so I can tell it to my wife?" He was simply lazy, was why he had no energy. The ant has no guide, overseer, ruler, yet works diligently to gather their food. There's no more industrious insect than the ant. Not even the honeybee. I noticed in the internet that there's 12,000 species of ants. I knew there were a few, but I didn't realize there were 12,000 different kinds of ants. And when ants get into your house, into your kitchen, it can be very aggravating. Yes, they're not born tired. No drums, slackers, or shirkers. They never go on strike. Their motto is work. They're always busy working, going from one place to another. Yes, according to the American International Encyclopedia, it says a people, they live in communities regulated by definite laws, each member of the society bearing a well-defined and separate part of the work of the colony. And so each ant does their part, working, being busy. Christians should profit by the ant's wisdom. We are to be busy. We're to work for the Lord. We should work during the summer of our life while we're able. Yes, while you're young, you have a lot more energy. You have a lot more strength. And after you get old, you get kind of weak. You don't have a lot of energy. And so we need to work while we have the opportunity. In Jeremiah 8 and verse 20, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved." Yes, the summer of our life soon passes by. Lost opportunity will be regretted. Jesus teaches the parable of the 10 virgins. The wise made preparation. They were busy. The foolish were not ready. They were not prepared when the bridegroom came. In Matthew 25, verse 10, beginning, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. The door was shut. After it came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Yes, they were not ready. They were not, had not been busy preparing for the coming of the bridegroom. The rich farmer had not prepared for the next life. He was prepared for this life. In Luke 12, verse 19, He said, I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And so he had a lot of food, a lot to last him for many years. But he had not done the will of God. God said in Luke 12 and 20, God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? He left God out of the picture, and he was not prepared for judgment. Remember God while you're young, and serve him all of your life. Don't wait until you become an old man or old woman. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And so the best time to obey God is while you're young, and you'll have a happy life in living the Christian life. Winter time of our life is coming. Galatians 6 and 10, he says, as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. John 9 and 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Jesus was busy working, doing the Father's will while he was here on earth. Christians who work here and serve God will rest in eternity. In Revelation 14, verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Blessed are those, yes, who die in the Lord. The ant doesn't store food where it can be robbed. They put it in a safe place. We also must be careful where we lay up our treasures. In Matthew 6, verse 19 and 20, Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. And so we need to lay up our treasures in heaven. He says, where your treasures, there will your heart be also. We notice the second creature, the conies, teaches an important lesson. In Proverbs 30 and verse 26, the conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. Yes, the conies, they look a lot like our rabbits. And we know that rabbits have not a very good protection. But conies, they live in the rocks. And as long as they stay in the rocks, they're safe from their enemy. Yes, a secure refuge is the rocks. In Psalms 104, verse 18, the high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. Look something like a rabbit found in the mountains of Lebanon and the valleys of Jordan. They're helpless, defenseless. Their only protection is the rocks they hide in. The Bible gives us figurative scriptures concerning refuge. In Isaiah 28 and verse 16, Isaiah prophesied about a stone, a rock, that is Jesus. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. He's referring here to Jesus Christ, a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. In Acts 4 and verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Yes, that's Jesus Christ. He is that rock, that stone, that refuge for us. Ephesians 2 and verse 20 are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's referring here to the church. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, chosen of God, and precious. And so here again, he's referring to Jesus Christ, a living stone. He was disallowed of men and chosen of God and precious. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, it says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And so Jesus Christ is that living stone, but we as Christians are to be living stones which make up that spiritual house, the church. In Matthew 7:24, Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." And so we're to build upon that rock by hearing and obeying our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is our rock and our refuge that will protect us from our enemy. Like the conies, we are helpless. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps." And so without Christ, we're lost, without hope. We cannot even direct our steps. But Jesus will lead us and direct us. Our refuge must not be lies. We can't turn to the lies, the doctrines, the commandments of men and expect to be protected by God. In Isaiah 28 and verse 15, "Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, with hell, are we in agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." And so here, God is rejecting, yes, those who turn to lies for the refuge. Our refuge must not be ourselves. We are not our own refuge. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." And so we can't put our trust in ourselves. We must put our faith and trust in God. Our refuge must not be wealth or money. Money cannot save us when this life is over. In 1 Timothy 6:17, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." And so let's not put our trust in uncertain riches. Put your trust in God. He is our refuge and not wealth. Many people are putting their trust in wealth and material things. Our refuge must not be in man. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." Yes, don't put your trust and confidence in man. We're not to think of man above that which is written. Many thousands, maybe millions of people are following men rather than Jesus Christ in religious matters. Our refuge is God. Psalms 94, verse 22, "But the Lord is my defense, my God is the rock of my refuge." As long as we are near God, He will protect us. Psalms 9 and verse 9, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble." Deuteronomy 33:27, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." And so God reaches out His arms to us. He is our refuge and our strength and our help. The coney was easy prey when he left his refuge, the rocks. Likewise, we're easy prey when we leave God. Israel, without God, were defeated by their enemies. They were taken into captivity. Songs that we sing, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, shelter in the time of storm. Yes, the Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Rock of ages, yes, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And so the conies would hide in the rocks for protection. God is our refuge and our strength. Also, we look at the locusts. They teach us a great lesson. In Proverbs 30 and verse 27, the locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. Yes, they go in bands, millions maybe together at a time. They swarm and they destroy crops. I noticed that in desert locusts, sometimes there's so many that might cover 460 miles. And he said that there's about 40 to 80 million different kinds, yes, of locusts. Locusts are in the grasshopper family. And so they teach us a great lesson in unity and cooperation. They all swarm together and they destroy crops. We notice that God sent a plague of locusts upon Egypt in Exodus 10, verse 14, beginning. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there was no such locust as they, neither after them shall there be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened. They did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. Just think of that. So many locusts that it destroyed everything, eat up everything that was green, even the fruit. They band together. They have order and discipline and can sweep over land like an invading of a great army. We certainly should be thankful that we don't have locusts like that here. A profitable lesson for the church. Our strength is made weak when there's division in the church. It's when we all work together that the church is strong and successful. Jesus said that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, Paul says, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together, the same mind, the same judgment. And so as Christians are together and have unity, we can accomplish a great deal. In matters of opinion, we can differ, but when it comes to matters of faith or doctrine, we're to be united upon God's word. When it comes to the plan of salvation, yes, we're to be united on how to become a Christian. The worship of the church, the work of the church, we're to be united upon these things. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, verse 3 through 5, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. Yes, we see the oneness here. Christians are to be one in Christ. The last one we want to look at is the spider. The spider teaches us a great lesson. In Proverbs 30 and verse 28, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Yes, I read, noticed on the internet, said there's 43,000 species of spiders. I know there's several different kinds of spiders. Some of them are poisonous. I've heard of the black widow, and there's other spiders. You need to be careful. In North America, there's about 3,400 different kinds of spiders. I'm sure in your house, sometimes you'll see a spider in your house. They're fearless labor and perseverance. They don't give up. They don't quit. Taketh hold. They're not afraid of a task, even in king's palaces. Yes, they're even in the king's palaces. Babe Ruth is famous for his home runs. but he struck out 1,333 times. He didn't quit. He didn't give up because he struck out a few times. He may have struck out four or five times in one game, but he didn't quit. Then he'd probably hit a home run. Albert Einstein, known for his wisdom, his intelligence, he was expelled from school when he was 15 years old. Abraham Lincoln, he failed in business. He was defeated several times when in politics, but he didn't give up. He became president of the United States. And so we can't give up. We're to be like the spider. The one talent man, he was afraid. He gave in. In Matthew 25, verse 25, he said, I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. He was afraid to use his ability. Those that used their ability were blessed by the Lord. If the spider fails, he tries again and again until he's successful. Bruce, Scotland's king, lost six battles against England, and he retired to his hut despondent over Scotland's future. And there he watched the spider trying to throw a thread from one beam to another. Six times that spider failed, but succeeded in the seventh time. And so this king fought again and won the battle. He learned a good lesson from the spider. The spider doesn't give up. We need perseverance and courage. In Matthew 24, verse 13, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. No matter what happens in your life, no matter how tragic something might be, don't let that cause you to become discouraged and turn against God. That's when we need God the most, in times of tragedy. In Revelation 2 and 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. In conclusion, your lesson. Let's learn great lessons from these little creatures. Like the ant, let's take advantage of the opportunities that we have in the summer of our life while we're young. Let's stay busy doing the will of the Lord. Like the conies, take refuge in the rock of ages. God is our refuge. Like the locusts, let's cooperate with God's people. Work together for the cause of Christ. Like the spider, let's persevere unto the end, and we'll receive that reward, that beautiful home in heaven. And so let's not become discouraged. Let's not give up the fight, but be faithful and go home to heaven when this life is over. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loved you so much that he gave his son. Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood. The plan of salvation, you must hear the word of God. You must believe it. Have faith. You must repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. In baptism, the blood of Christ will cleanse you. And the Lord will add you to his church. And then we live a faithful Christian life. We can go home to heaven. And so if you're subject in any way to the invitation of the Lord, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?